and gentlemen, we are back. Geek Culture Congress podcast. My name is Louis Speedy Jr. Gonzalez, accompanied by my good friend, actor and comedian, writer, director, long-form editor. What else do you do, Tarek? Life coach.
I am your celebrity name interpreter.
There you go. Yes, yes. Mr. Tarek Lewis is joining me live via the interwebs for poolside. welcome to Geek Culture Congress, ladies and gentlemen. We talk, if you're live here on watching on whatever your favorite channel is right there on one of my DJ channels on Facebook or Speedy's Multiverse YouTube channel, this is Geek Culture Congress podcast. Go ahead and give the look for the audio version of this podcast. And if you're listening to the audio version of this after it's all said and done, I want to thank you so much for me joining us on the audio version of the podcast, because of our reach has increased tenfold there. We're really excited for everyone who consumes this show and listens to it at their leisure. Tarek, how about that, huh?
Yeah, I like that. Good, yeah. Good word.
Yeah. I'm practicing my big words, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Tarek, Guardians of the Galaxy 3 has come and still in the movie theaters right now, making good money. We haven't had a chance to talk about it because we, you know, life has gotten in the way. That's what we're going to do today, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk a lot of spoilers about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. And if you haven't seen it by now,
If you haven't seen it by now, you don't care about it.
Yeah. I guess we could talk a little bit about Fast X too, huh? Have you seen that already, Tarek?
I have not, and I have no intentions on seeing it.
Is that like, you know, if it's not your thing, you know, like that's, you know, like you're done with the Fast and Furious franchise, it's gonna be more of that. So it's not gonna be for you, you know what I mean? This is just, you know. Go watch a rom-com or something, you know?
Yeah.
Flash is coming soon, right? When is the release date for Flash?
Because I believe Flash is June 3rd. It's next week.
Oh, man. Is it next week?
Yeah.
June 3rd. So next weekend. Okay. But this weekend, Indy 5, right?
June 16th actually is the Flash. I stand corrected. June 16th is the Flash.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So, okay. They pushed it even farther. Okay. All right. So, but this weekend is it this weekend Indy 5 or that's pushback?
That is June 30th. What?
June 30th. June 30th.
Yes.
June 30th. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I was all off with wrong information and everything. That's why I have you here, Tarek.
Yeah, you feel like the whole world got pushed back with our show.
Yeah, I did.
Everything's off 2 weeks now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what happens when we take a whole all my dates got messed up. Yeah. Don't know what we're talking about today. All I know is we're going to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Tarek, you saw the movie?
I did.
What did you think about it?
I've been debating this, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's a top five MCU film.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Top five MCU film.
I can't disagree with you, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I got it over. I mean, it's of course, it's not over Winter Soldier. Winter Soldier's still probably the best MCU film. Mm.
Remind me to bring that Winter Soldier topic back up.
Okay.
Later on.
Can't quite put it over Infinity War because the epic nature of Infinity War.
Yeah.
It's my blackness wants to say Black Panther.
It's okay.
Yeah. I like it. I like it more, probably more, a little more than Thor Ragnarok.
Okay.
I think it's slightly better than Thor Ragnarok. So I got it in my top five.
Okay. I thought it was excellent. I thought it was an excellent send-off.
Yeah.
For the characters, for the arc. I thought... it was a good closing chapter for that iteration of the Guardians of the Galaxy. I thought it was well done. It was just very, it was, I was, involved in the movie from beginning to end. There you go. You know what I mean? Like, it was just a great theater experience. The story was well. It didn't feel like it had to like connect things and get into the multiverse stuff that they're on right now with Marvel.
Right.
And that was it was kind of refreshing, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it had heart. It had like a lot of heart to it, but that wasn't forced.
Right.
But one of my favorite comic book movies of all time is Logan. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people give Logan shit because they're like, well, it was depressing or it was sad. Well, it's supposed to be fun. And I was like, okay. But it's a great film. Like, to me, Logan was just like a great film.
Yeah.
Guardians accomplished that and still had like the funny, crazy comic book stuff.
Yeah.
While still having like all the heart and the actual good film qualities about it, not just a good comic book film. So that's what makes me put Guardians way up there. And the reason I have Winter Soldier so high is that Winter Soldier would be a good film if it wasn't about comic books.
That's right. If Winter Soldier stood alone and you didn't watch anything else before that, even the first Captain America, I think you would enjoy that movie. You would like that. Yeah. This is a pretty good movie.
Yeah, Winter Soldier is like a really good Mission Impossible film.
Yeah, yeah.
Or James Bond film. So yeah. I got Guardians. I think it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
Without trying to be too forcibly funny. Massive improvement on the second one.
Okay.
Rare time that the third film is the best one. You know what I mean? Most of the times, the third film is not the best one.
That's right. You're absolutely right.
So I think the second kind of like wasn't trash, but it kind of fell off a little bit. This one got it all back. Great character work. It wasn't too obvious. They could have gone with like Star-Lord getting back with Gamora, or they could have gone Star-Lord getting with Nebula.
Yeah.
They've
done a bunch of things, but.
But they did. And a friend of mine was talking. They were like, they didn't kill anybody. Like, we thought they were going to kill. So we were like betting on who was going to die. And, you know, we all assumed, I think a lot of people assumed, well, Drax is going to die. Right. Because, you know, Batista's not doing the movies anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't do that.
No, they didn't. So, very interesting.
Very well done.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. It was a very good time with the movies. Let's get into it, man. Let's get into the nitty gritty, ladies and gentlemen. This is your spoiler warning. There you go. We're going to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. And if you still haven't watched it yet, well, it's too bad. there was a little Howard the Duck in that movie, and I was expecting to get a little bit more, you know, before we go into the actual story. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. And I thought they were going to utilize that character a little bit, but I guess they just left, you know, he kind of left it. He exists, you know, and leave it to somebody else, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know why people want to see that damn character.
Yeah.
I don't know. What about your childhood?
I think it's funny and comedic.
Want to see Howard the Duck.
Yeah. I just think people just want to see it done right, done in the MCU and you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a ridiculous, stupid character. I don't understand what's wrong with people.
It is. But it's just for fun, you know? I don't know. But I like the, it kind of like continues from the Halloween special straight into like the first scene. The whole presentation. Yeah. The Christmas special, the Guardians of the Galaxy one.
Yeah.
That whole presentation, of course, we got our first final look at Adam Warlock was introduced in this movie in the MCU proper. You know, a couple Infinity movies late.
Right.
But I liked it. I liked his whole explosive intro in the beginning, you know, like it was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you expect that power set from him off the bat?
Was he created by the High Evolutionary in the comic book?
So I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't think so. But I guess indirectly in the MCU he is, right?
Yeah.
Because
he
created that race, right?
Yes.
The race that created Anna Warlock. So I guess that indirectly he is part of the High Evolutionary's creations. That whole introductory fight, I thought it was kind of like, man, like he's like owning like all the Guardians, and it's like they barely, you know, I forgot her. The sister of Gamora. She
Nebula.
Had that. Yeah, Nebula. She had that. She's able to. She has a new skill set. I guess that that Rocket Raccoon has given her, and she's able to form some different weapons and stuff like that, like shapeshift, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, one of her arms was it one of her arms or both her arms?
Well, we only saw it with one arm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that was interesting too. Yeah, it looked like some. It kind of reminded me of like how Tony would change his suit into weapons.
Yeah. It seems like it's like a little bit of that Stark technology, but made even better by Rocket Raccoon. Yeah.
Yeah.
A little improvement. There's even fights later on. Nebula like gets punched in the face and like she deforms, like, you know, like her whole neck gets look like it's broken, but it just forms back, you know, kind of like a, you know, like a plastic kind of person, you know?
Yeah. She pulled what I call it the creepy Japanese girl move. The creepy Japanese girl in a horror film is always like crawling very strangely out of a well.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was pulling that.
Well, they did a little bit of that in the Multiverse of Madness when the Scarlet Witch was going crazy.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah. Yes.
But I don't know. That's magic, and this is our galactic MCU story. So, but they kind of want to, like, you know, make technology and magic are kind of the same thing, but just different approaches to the same science or the same stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah. They've always based the magic in this universe on it's energy manipulation,
right?
You know,
right?
So even one of the Ravagers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was gonna, and I'm glad you brought that up. I wanted to bring that up, but go ahead.
Yeah, one of the Ravagers has the clearly has the same type of magic or whatever that Doctor Strange has.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or it looks the same at least.
Right. Yeah. The portals that he was opening in the spaceship or opening the same. It was nice little things like that, you know, to show that you're still in the same universe. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I might jump around different plot points of the movie because, you know, my brain works like that.
Yeah. We know that.
Yeah. So, I just found it interesting that they actually kind of like defeated Warlock or that he had to leave. You know what I mean? They kind of like, it was like a Hail Mary, but they still kind of got away with it. You know what I mean?
So, yeah. It was interesting because at one point they say, hey, you got to be careful with the Guardians. They're more powerful than you think.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking like, no, they're not.
I thought the same thing. I was like, okay. All right.
But I guess then when you think about it, like if they're the ones in the galaxy that's known for killing Ego and for taking down all of the, what were they called? The Sovereigns. Yeah, they're known for killing Ego, taking down the Sovereigns.
They're chilling in the head of a dead Celestial, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Defeating Ronin. They're known for defeating Ronin. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, yeah, they probably have a reputation now at this point, you know, and helping beat Thanos. They probably have a reputation for being like, okay, they're badasses.
Yeah. I then after the presentation of Adam Warlock, and then of course he's trying to get them, and they realize it's all about Rocket Raccoon. He gets injured, right?
Yes.
I thought it was very interesting how they did that. It was very, I thought it was very creative. Like he had some kind of, but then again, I thought like, so he got injured. Just to break it down. He got injured, and he got some kind of fail safe or whatever, or somebody tries to revive him. Or something like that?
Yes.
That it kicks in and tries to, like, destroy the creation or something?
Yeah, he basically had a life lock on him.
Yeah, like a life lock. Yeah.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
To make sure that it's like something like he had an air tag on his heart.
Yeah. But so, I mean, he's been through a bunch of adventures already, and he's never taken damage like that before in any of those movies.
No.
Yeah, that's what made me think, like, he's ever gotten hurt like that before?
No, we've never seen Rocket get really, really hurt like that. No.
Okay. because it was kind of like they try to use the rejuva packs, those instant rejuva packs that they have in the galaxy, and I guess that really like heals you right away, you know, or if you got a broken arm or something like that, it like boom, like magic heals you know.
He hasn't taken, even against Thanos mm-hmm. or whatever you want to call him, mm-hmm. And he never really took a bunch of bad damage,
right.
Yeah, you know, Cole even says at one point, not in this movie, but in other films, like, you want to be where the danger isn't, you know?
Yeah.
So Rocket kind of stays out of harm's way often.
That's true. I was thinking, not even in the big final battle. I mean, he was in there. He was mixing up with everybody, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, I digress. But I thought it was very interesting, the little life lock thing, the little, like, Trojan horse. There you go.
Yeah,
and a little virus thing or whatever that was in his heart, or whatever, or in his blood. Was his blood, I believe?
It was actually. I think it was in his heart or attached to his heart.
Attached to his heart. Yeah. It was like a parasite had it, something like that. So and then they had to get some kind of code to unlock it, and then they realized that it belonged to the company that the Galaxy Company that was run by the High Evolutionary.
Yes, and I looked it up. The High Evolutionary in the comic book does not create Adam Warlock, but is responsible for naming him Adam Warlock and sending him on missions to counter Earth. So they took the story very close to.
I know that counter Earth existed in the book, in the comics at one point. So they go on this mission. They have to recruit. They have to use the Ravagers, and that's where we see Gamora once again, or the Gamora from this now this new version of Gamora back again, and then we get the drama between Star-Lord and Gamora again, because he still loves her and still has affection for her, and she has no affection for her whatsoever because she didn't fall in love with him like the Gamora who was killed in Infinity War. I like this. I liked all this, you know. It was very touching. A lot of heart. I like the whole he, when they're on the mission around that like earthy base or whatever that they had to infiltrate, that skin, it was like a biological base.
Oh yeah, the company was
and that was definitely James Gunn. You know, James Gunn likes to be like fart joke.
Yeah. And that was very that visually looked like a Wes Anderson film to me.
It was kind of disgusting, but it's or whatever. It wasn't too bad. It was like touching the line of disgusting, like almost.
It was very college humor.
Yeah, it was.
Like,
it was.
If you were like, if you had collegeclub.com back in the day, it was like one of those situations.
But it's all right. But that scene and that dialogue that he had with her, he was like, "I've never stopped loving you." I think it's something like that.
Yeah,
I'm probably wrong, but anyway, it was a very long, touching dialogue, and then they made fun of him after it because everybody heard it in the comms.
I like the part. I think it's around that same moment where where she says, like, and it's in the trailer, but it still came off funny. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't sound like you're talking about me. It sounds like you're talking about her.
Oh yeah, that were later on when they infiltrated the base. There were
he's kind of looking at Nebula. He's like, stop looking at me. You know, every guy has been through that.
Yeah.
Just some girl that's like, hey, don't look at me that way. Like, my fault. Look at me like that.
So they infiltrate the bay. Long story short, there's a bunch of getting caught and not getting caught and escaping and stuff like that happens on the base.
By the way, that entire scene, the escape scene, you know, it reminded me of the very first Guardians where they escaped from the prison.
You got a point. You got a point. Hey, you know, there you go. When you bring that up, they never talked about the cops, the Galactic cops. What are they called? The Xandar people. We know they got busted up. You know, like I figured they would show it or show it in ruins or.
I'm sure that'll come up in future projects. Maybe with maybe with the Marvels or Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Probably. You know. I'm sure. Clearly, they're going to be using Adam Warlock in the future. You know, clearly, I think the Xandar kind of got destroyed.
Oh yeah, definitely. Maybe the whole planet got destroyed. Right? It doesn't even exist. It's just like Alderaan in Star Wars. You know, just rocks.
Yeah. a billion souls screaming out all
So they escape, and I'm a little fuzzy now. Right? So they escape, and then they, the code doesn't work. The code that they got, right?
Yeah, I believe that's what happened. The code didn't work.
The code didn't work, or it got erased, or the file got erased, or something. And then they figured out who, it was one of the henchmen
of the high evolutionary.
Yeah. Yeah. So then they trying to find out where he is now, right? There are a bunch of flashbacks of Rocket Raccoon, and we see how his beginning and all the torture and stuff like that he went through. And that was that was kind of a little dark. That was kind of like a little Tim Burton-ish, right?
Yeah, I hate to say it. I wouldn't say my favorite. The Rocket Raccoon flashbacks were like the realism part that made this film like a good film, not just a good movie. This was heartbreaking, but like,
it was a little dark. Like, I don't know if I'd bring a small child to that movie.
Right. I was thinking that. I was like, yo, this ain't good for the kids. These little tortured animals. Yeah. Like, kids don't like to see handicapped otters. Yeah. I don't think they do. I mean, I don't have kids, so correct me if I'm wrong. But
Or like the rabbit that was a spider.
A paraplegic rabbit with.
Then again, I think about like Tim Burton, you know, like he has that, like a lot of that imagery in his stuff. Yeah. Like, you know.
Yeah.
But
to be honest, Toy Story has some creepy-ass toys in it, too, that were kind of messed up. The Land of Reject Toys or whatever it was. Those little creepy-ass things.
Yeah. It was definitely, it is a line that it didn't cross, but it definitely touched it and pushed it like this, like, you know, and tickled it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so and you made it sound weird when you said tickled it.
Tickled it.
I gotta be honest with you. It made me a little uncomfortable.
So let me make sure I'm getting this right. They figure it out that they need the henchmen. Then they go to the Counter Earth because they're gonna go talk to the High Evolutionary or confront him. Right?
Yes. Right?
They go to the planet. They figure it out that it's like a Earth kind of planet, but with creatures.
Yes.
And even the society is very Earth style and everything. The same.
Yes.
The same as the Earth and MCU, should I say?
Yeah.
And then it's funny they get confronted like if they were like invading aliens.
Right.
Yeah.
You think about it, makes sense.
Yeah. It does. It does. I mean, look, what do you think will happen? You know, same thing happened here. You know what I mean?
Shout out, by the way, to an acting associate of mine who was in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
She played the alien that takes them in to their house.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Darla Delgado. She's here. She's from the Florida area. So shout out to her and her role. Great role. Yeah, that's
freaking awesome, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's freaking awesome. Yeah, she had to learn that alien language. So yeah,
right. I was wondering what the audition was like when she did.
When you're gonna be in Star Trek and have to learn Klingon to like do the role, whatever, or do the lines that you have to do in Klingon language.
Yeah,
if you're on House of the Dragon and you got to talk one of those old languages of Valyrian I wonder who sits down and write and create like, okay, we need to create this language. You know, who does that?
I mean, I'm sure there's a linguist out there, and you got to think with things like Star Trek, there's some lonely kid who probably knows how to speak Klingon. There's some lonely individuals probably, out
at
there.
At this point, because there's it's been out for a long time, and there's a lot of lore and a lot of probably written articles and books about it, and from people who actually wrote it, you know, back in the day. So I'm sure there's a lot of source material to continue. But like, this is like just something creative off the rip, you know?
Yeah, I wonder if there was like a script supervisor who was like, it's actually supposed to be three clicks and a growl.
There's probably people like that. It's probably they get paid like billions of dollars just to come up with unique, crazy languages.
Yeah,
that'll be interesting. That'll be interesting to find that out. But that was awesome. They got taken in by a family, and then they there was curse words in this movie.
Yeah,
yeah, and the first S word or was it F bomb? I forgot.
The first F-bomb, I think.
It was an F-bomb. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess James Gunn just wanted to do that. Like, it's my last movie, and I want to throw an F-bomb in my movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? Nobody cares anymore.
I think Ant-Man and Endgame says take the goddamn picture to the kids.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's not even PG-13, I think. So then they confront the it was supposed to be like a meeting, I guess. How did he get that? How did they make that meeting with High Evolutionary? Because it was like they were invited in, and then it became a confrontation.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, I forgot. I think he said we'll give you Rocket for something else, and they were trying to make a little negotiation.
Yeah, like it was like a negotiation. There you go. Yeah, yeah. And then it went south, and we have our first confrontation there, and but you're jumping off the sides of ships.
And
it was interesting. Yeah. Well, go ahead.
Adam Warlock is set. It's set off.
Oh yes.
In this moment, because the Sovereign is like, hey,
they're still trying
to
get Rocket. The Sovereign people are still trying to get Rocket for High Evolutionary on the side, and Adam Warlock. I thought it was very interesting. So they tried to do the beginning of Adam Warlock, that he doesn't, you know, he's very juvenile.
Yeah,
in the beginning. But the second time that he, you know, his mother dies and he loses his cool, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's off hinge. It just seemed like, I don't know, it seems misplaced. I don't know. That was probably the only, if I didn't like anything out of the movie, it probably was that.
I don't know. I found it fluid. I felt like it made sense.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
To me. Yeah.
Of course he loses his mother. High Evolutionary, self-destructs the whole Counter-Earth thing. Or what is it? Counter-Earth? Or what is it?
Counter-Earth, yeah.
Yeah, Counter-Earth. He self-destructs the whole planet. And, of course, his mother, they're waiting on a ship, and they don't know it's going to blow up. So he tries to fly back to save her. He takes another shot at getting Rocket Raccoon, and has a conversation with Gamora, of all people, on the ship.
Yeah.
They have a nice little back and forth. But he was knocked out for a second. How did she knock him out?
I think it was when the ship... I thought he got knocked out when the ship exploded.
No, I thought she knocked him out.
I don't recall
something with a weapon, one of rocket.
Oh yeah,
weapons.
There was a weapon on the ship. Yeah, I think it was a weapon on the ship.
Yeah, I was trying to remember what kind of weapon it was that knocked him out like that.
Yeah,
I don't even remember because, you know, she definitely don't have the power set of him. So
right,
yeah. And maybe I wasn't paying attention or something, or my wife was asking me a question. I missed that, and I thought it was okay. I missed that. Now I'll have to rewatch the whole damn movie.
Yeah, as if you weren't going to rewatch it anyway.
I don't know. I like Guardians of the Galaxy is one of my favorite comic books. The comic book story Guardians of the Galaxy. I really enjoyed it.
Okay,
got a lot of them. A couple of them on my wall. The Annihilation Wave that happens with Annihilus.
Mm.
That Guardian Galaxy is involved with the comics. If they do that in the MCU style, with of course a little tweaking stuff like that, that could be very epic, very epic. Yeah, but they have to do a lot of Fantastic Four stuff and Annihilus stuff first before they even get close to that. So Adam Warlock, mother gets killed. They escape the planet, but they're still on the ship. Right?
I do not recall this sequentially.
They get back to the ship, but then some of them are stuck in there because they think Peter's on there. So some of them go back to the ship.
Mm-hmm.
it's kind of like a loop-de-loop. Like, you know, like I thought you were on the ship still. That's why we're back here. No, I'm on the other ship. I'm like, all right, whatever. I don't know. It just seemed like a loose, easy plot device. To get characters.
I think that was all done, you know, purposely to separate them and have them have their own moments.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
So then there's a bunch of different humanoid or races and stuff like that, and animals, and on the actual High Evolutionary ship. So they find like this whole race of females, right?
Yeah, I think it was all females, but there might have been some little boys there too.
Yeah. Oh, maybe. I don't
know. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I don't really recall. I just remember the little girl with the white hair and some other ones.
One of the characters that now is going to be a future Guardians of the Galaxy is introduced at this moment. And that character, I guess apparently in the comic book, she takes over as a what's the guy with the bands? Quasar, I think. She takes over as a Quasar for a moment in the
Quasar.
Comic book. Yeah. Yeah. Quasar is the guy with the Nega bands.
I'm not familiar with him. And
there's a bunch of galactic MC Marvel characters. Okay. But I think she does that. I think she's like part Kree or something like that. So did they mention that at all? Like that whole race was like Kree influence or something?
No, they didn't mention
these little
kids. Sorry, yeah. No.
Yeah.
They just it was clear that
It
was just clear that Gaia Revolutionary was trying to get them to be, he was trying to get them to be the perfect beings.
Right.
But he wanted them
powers. Yeah.
She ended up having powers.
Yeah.
And
she probably didn't have powers when they were that small, but later on in the movie, when it gets to the final cutscene, you can see that she has some powers and she's part of Guardians of the Galaxy, the new version, stuff like that.
Yeah, but, he was frustrated with them because they had all this ability, but they didn't have the cognitive ability that Rocket had.
Yes. That's what they wanted. He wanted. That was the main, actually the main plot of the whole movie. High Evolutionary wants Rocket back because he wants that brain.
Yeah.
And he figured out he was still alive because his little thing went off.
Yes.
Yeah. So
you're getting it, Speedy.
I get it. All right, my whole house is designed to interrupt me at any given time, okay? All right? So I apologize to anybody who's watching this on the replay, okay? So, keep me in line here.
They're able to save Rocket.
Yeah.
At first they think it doesn't work. And that he's gone, and then Quill does, you do the yelling, you do your monologue to the dead person thing, and Rocket sees his old friends. That whole plot too. That was a whole flashback plot of them thinking they were going to be getting away, and Rocket coming up with a plan to get them out, and they all get killed. So we get to see that, and then he comes back. He comes back after seeing his friends saying, "Hey, Rocket, it's not your time."
And that was a very touching scene. There was a lot of people with some not dry eyes.
Yeah.
In that scene.
Yeah.
It was very
like I said, man, no one wants to see an otter die.
Yeah. I had a feeling like, oh man, like we're not gonna have Rocket no more. Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, beginning of the show, we all thought that some of these Guardians were gonna die.
And then there's a bunch of struggle, and now they're destroying the ship and confronting Rocket's getting back to the ship now. He finds his raccoons, and he actually is a raccoon, even though he tells everybody he's not.
Yeah. This scene where they board the High Evolutionary ship was really dope.
Yeah.
That was a really dope fight scene.
Oh, yeah. That was a very well-done fight scene. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably the highlight of all the fight scenes and all the confrontations on the movie is that
yeah, this that movie really had this was some of Groot's best moments fight scene wise. Yeah, so this is like Groot, like this is Groot doing some CrossFit, doing some workouts.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
yeah, he's a little diesel.
Yeah, Groot was
diesel, and he had a bunch of different things in the confrontation in the first confrontation with the High Evolutionary. He had hidden all the hidden guns.
Yeah,
in his roots or whatever, and that was fun. But we've seen that in the trailer, of course. That was one of the highlights of the trailer.
Yeah,
but seeing it actually and why it was executed that way, it was actually interesting.
Yeah,
yeah. Um, I guess the whole head of the Celestial is kind of like a battle fortress too.
Yeah. Apparently, yeah, they were just using that. Yeah.
Because I guess they got piloted, or they figured out how to make it be a ship, you know, with thrusters and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like they just retrofitted the whole head, which is interesting, because then that goes into a lot of the things. Remember, we're talking about with the island, the Bahamut Island that's left over by the Eternals.
Yes.
And then we might get the adamantium from that island and all that stuff. Little things that makes it interesting. They use a celestial head to be like a ship, you know?
Yeah.
And it took a lot of damage and it survived in that whole confrontation. So it was very interesting just watching how they used it, you know?
Yeah, I don't want to say humanize, but just what I'm starting to like about the galactic stuff is that it like levels playing fields, I guess, where everything doesn't seem so extreme and extraordinary when you see it now. So after seeing all these, like we were talking about, clearly, excuse me, one of That's the okay. people with the Ravagers has the Doctor Strange powers. We see that clearly, like, this universe is so vast and there's so many abilities, so many powers going on that it doesn't seem so strange when you run into strong beings as it would if you were on Earth. So on Earth, everybody has to have an origin story, like how they got their powers. But the good thing about the galactic stuff is that you don't have to have an origin story. It's just, no, our species is this strong, and this species does this, you know, so.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
I think that's dope.
That. Yeah, I think that was really dope. And I think the galactic, just the galactic MCU by itself, Fred Earth, could be a really cool thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was doubting it when it first started, but it's turned out pretty good.
Yeah, definitely, like, in the comic book form, like, there's a lot of lore in the galaxy, the Marvel galaxy outside of Earth, you know what I mean? There's a lot of stuff that's going on, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of storylines to follow and stuff like that. So they could definitely do a lot. There's a lot of source material, good source material and things they could do.
Yeah.
So confrontation, would they warp back in the headquarters, the celestial head base, nowhere. Yeah. And then they have the kind of like the rescue. Did they crash the other ship? That was it.
They kind of docked it or like merged it, kind of.
Yeah.
Almost landed on it. Yeah.
Yeah. When they did that, I was like, oh man, how the hell they're gonna get out of this? And then the ship shows.
Shows up. Now that was a plot hole. That was a plot device. Like, well, wouldn't nowhere be kind of destroyed a little bit? But I guess not.
Yeah, whatever. I guess time has passed, you know, and Rocket is this genius, you know?
No, I meant like when it collided with the Celestial
head, it
collided.
Yeah.
So wouldn't nowhere get damaged from that?
Right, but then it makes me think about the rumors and things that are going to be worked on with the other, you know, the stuff on Earth.
Yeah.
That I guess, you know, that's why they use the Celestial head as a base, you know, to live in, because it's pretty sturdy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So... I don't know.
So yeah,
That's me trying to make sense of it.
Yeah, we get the dope fight scene. We get Rocket rescuing the raccoons.
Right.
And I think this is Nebula's human moment where she's like, we got to take the kids to Nebula and Drax. So like, we got to get these little white kids off of here.
To be fair, they're aliens. Okay.
I saw a couple of ethnic kids in there.
Yeah, maybe.
And the fight with the High Evolutionary.
Yeah, they had a fight with the High Evolutionary. Rocket Raccoon has a confrontation with High Evolutionary. Enclosure there.
So this is a part that I was like, oh no, not the kids can't be in here when they take his face off.
Oh yeah, that was a little face off like John Travolta in the Nicolas Cage movie there moment.
They took his face off, and I said, oh no, the children. Children can't see this.
It's okay. The children need to know what's under the skin. There you go.
Yeah, man. That was a little dark.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. It was a little like I said, pushing that boundary, definitely.
Yeah.
What he can get away with, yeah. But it was interesting for the most part. The the conversation. I really liked the actor, the High Evolutionary actor.
Yes.
Whatever happens with Jonathan Majors, if they could figure out some way to make this High Evolutionary some kind of variant of Kang, I'll be okay. Let's keep going.
I was thinking that the entire film.
You think so?
I was like, man, if they make him, I was hoping that it would be at the end that he was a variant. But I guess that, you know, they were keeping these things separate. They probably had a full plan. I don't think Jonathan Majors is done quite yet. Mm. We'll see.
Man.
I think it's a big move to already make the decision to like move on from him. But if they do, this would be a great.
He was really good, man.
He was really good. He was really, really good. His motivations were good. You know what I mean? Not good, but his motivations were like. It made sense.
Good and for an antagonist. Yeah, you go.
Yeah. He had personality. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, that was a great villain.
Yeah.
That was a great villain. And it wouldn't be unreasonable for some version of him to still be alive.
Yeah, I think that would be good. I think that's definitely a big option they should explore if they have to hit that nuclear button, you know?
Yeah. And if he's the High Evolutionary, are there evolutionaries, you know what I mean? Does someone else?
Oh, I mean, sure. Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Why not? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he clearly just took that face.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it wasn't his real face.
Yeah, he shoplifted that face.
Well, no, it wasn't his face. In the pre losing, getting damaged that when Rocket in the flashback gripped up his face looked the same. The actor was the same actor, or the face was the same. It just didn't have that pulled back and tight version, you know?
Yeah, okay, it didn't have the pulled back tie version. Okay.
Yeah, or the pulled back then stretched version, you know?
Yeah, got you.
Yeah. So, let's see. We had the confrontation. Everybody's trying to escape the ship. And we get our scene with Star-Lord. We actually think it might be Star-Lord that we might lose. Yeah?
I was set up to make some money on this. Because I told a friend of mine, so Cam, that Star-Lord would be the one to die.
Yeah? Was, yeah.
No fucking... He's like, no way.
And you were there. Like, you were almost at the finish line like this, right?
Damn you! I was right there, man. I was right there. And
then James Gunn went like this to you.
Snatched it away from me. Shit, man.
But it was interesting. It was cool. I think it was a nice moment.
Yeah, it made absolutely no sense, but no. I understand it cinematically. I understand it why you would do that.
I guess. It was okay. It was all right. I accept it for what it is. I don't understand. So it's the conclusion of the movie. You know, they survive the confrontation with the High Evolutionary, and they're fixing the damage to nowhere and stuff like that. I don't understand the reason why they're separating, other than for the sake of separating, because they're just tired.
Yeah, sick of each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Like,
yeah.
Kind of like what happened on our podcast here.
Ah, yeah. I mean, kind of. it's funny. I do like the new, you know, kind of like this new version of the Guardians of the Galaxy led by Rocket Raccoon. And he takes the leadership role after Star-Lord just says he's got to go back home and, you know, see his family and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like they kind of ended on an open-ended thing with Gamora, where Gamora now has a little bit more appreciation for him, maybe? If not affection?
Yeah.
Yeah? At least appreciation for him?
Yeah, it's almost like they're opening up a little bit. To the idea that...
Yeah. But then it seemed like when she's reunited with the Ravagers, she's like a family reunion, you know what I mean? Like this is like that group is her family now, yeah?
Yes. Yeah, which I thought was cool.
Yeah.
I'm always so perplexed by that outfit that Sylvester Stallone has on as a Ravager.
Oh man. I just think he just does that for the check. He's just like, yeah, sure, we'll do it.
Yeah, but like, what is that outfit? He has like the little, is he human too?
I guess it's, no, yeah, I think he's human. Yeah, he's definitely human too. I don't think he's an alien.
Okay.
He's definitely don't know if he's exactly from Earth or humanoid, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess Kree is technically look the same, look very, they can look human or blue.
Yeah.
They can look human skin color or they can look blue color. The Kree. Right. So maybe he's Kree? Maybe? I don't know. It's possible. Let's see what else are we gonna. Okay, we got the season. They separate. Then we get the cutscene of the new Guardians of the Galaxy. Adam Warlock survives, of course, the confrontation. It's kind of like I don't understand the movie. I see a lot of the criticisms of the movie is Adam Warlock. Of anything I've seen about any criticism about the movie. And I think maybe when he changes from being super mad to super like appreciative, you know?
Yeah,
he was, and it was kind of like no bridge there.
Yeah, no, his family, his mom, mother is ripped away from him. He's been indoctrinated to, you know, go do this one thing, and then all that guidance is gone, and these people took care of him. He's still a teenager, so it's like anybody ever watch Different Strokes? It'd be like saying, why is Arnold not mad at Mr. Drummond? Like, no, he just wants. What you talk about, Willis?
He just wants a place to be. Yeah. He just wants to live, and
yeah,
which is cool.
Ultimately, I think it's cool. What the Guardians of the Galaxy is all about. Like, Rocky comes in. I don't need family. Yeah. Quill comes in. I don't need anybody. Gamora is rebelling against her father. You know, Nebula is the same. Mm-hmm. You know, Rocket and Groot are cool, but like the whole crew are people who left. Their supposed guide, father figures, guidance, mm-hmm.
The guy that inherited what's his name again?
Wandu,
he inherited the whistle arrow.
Yes,
and he had a whole little arc of him trying to master it and not feeling confident. There you go. That's what he needed. He needed the confidence to actually do it.
Yeah. And he left the Ravager. So it's always all these characters that are in the Guardians that become Guardians are people that have left or are abandoned by another family and are now, part of the Guardians of the Galaxy becoming their new family. It's like, in some ways, Guardians is a more realistic version of Fast and Furious.
And I like that this... In his experiences and his adventures as a Guardian of the Galaxy member, he might quite possibly be turned into the Adam Warlock that we appreciate from the comic books. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So I think that's actually kind of dope. You know?
Yeah. Drax and Nebula are staying on Nowhere, correct?
Right. They're still on Nowhere. And of course, Nowhere is still the base for the Guardians of the Galaxy. It's kind of like, but they're just doing their own things.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Nebula's kind of like taking care of the kids.
Yeah. Well, one of the kids now becomes one of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay. So, yeah, I looked that up, and that is Quasar, who they're going to be calling Quasar. It is her.
Yep. She takes over in the comic book. She takes over for the guy who's Quasar for a little while.
Yeah.
And she even gets a sword. Phil Avell, you're right. And then she even gets the Black Sword, which is it's related to the symbiotes.
Hmm.
In the comic books, so that, you know, who knows if they do that in the future with the Kroll, I think it's that guy's name. He's a bad guy in the recent Venom storyline in the comic books.
Oh, okay,
he's like the master symbiote leader,
yes,
something like that.
Yeah, he's like a badass from what I understand.
Yeah, yeah, he's a big problem in the comic book, big problem. So I think they might do that because they kind of did it a little bit. Those dark characters that they were fighting in Thor, Love and Thunder, which we don't really want to talk about that movie too much, but that one scene where they were fighting in the Jane Foster store was introduced there.
Oh yeah,
first time.
Yeah.
That those creatures they were fighting are based on those symbiotes.
Okay.
Yeah. And let's not go down that.
Yeah, you're going to the weeds.
Explaining hole that I almost did. Let's talk about Fast X. Just a little.
What are you giving on a scale of 1 to 10?
You have to grade fast movies with a curve.
No, I'm talking about Guardians. Did you do Guardians?
Oh, Guardians. Guardians is probably a 4.5 out of 5. It was a great movie.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But Fast X, when you grade it, you had to grade it on a curve. And as an action fan,
graded on the X or Fast X curve.
Yeah, as a fan of movies, action movies, they really. I don't know what happened when they were filming this movie, or maybe it happened just by accident. I think they finally sat down and said, "Hey, you know, we have all these great action superstars on our roster. You know, the antagonist and the protagonist. You know what I mean?" And they said, let's just make some great action sequences. And they probably said, okay, you know, fights and everything. And everyone must have agreed on it because all the action sequences were freaking awesome to watch.
Yeah.
Even the crazy, because you were going to get crazy, you know, don't make no sense, death-defying, logic-defying car stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You were going to get that. You know what I'm saying? But even then, you're like, okay. You know what I mean? Not that it's not more, less, you know, incredible, you know, or unbelievable what you just watched. But, you know, at this point, if you've watched, you know, 9 of these movies already and you're still here, you know, you're like I was kind of.
Yeah.
Even though I did not like Fast 9. Fast 9 was, oh, my God. What did we watch? You know what I mean? Yeah, that was pretty bad. But I guess they took the criticisms from Fast 9 in stride and they really, really decided, you know, let's make a really cool action movie.
Okay.
You know? Or at least we're gonna have these, you know, Cher Rice-Theron fight Michelle Rodriguez in a secret laboratory. Let's make it dope. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I honestly cashed out around 5.
Yeah, 5 was probably the best one. And if you were out at 5, yeah, that's probably it.
Yeah.
Because the Fate of the Furious is a better one too. But then you know 6 is like okay, 7 is okay.
I know I saw the one with the Rock in it. I saw the one with it with a Rock.
Yeah, I think that's 5 or 5. 5 it gets introduced, right? I think.
I don't remember.
It's too much.
So I definitely so, but I didn't see. I haven't seen Jason Statham in one of these films yet. Put it that way.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, and there's one. The did you see the one with him, Rock and Jason Statham, the spinoff?
Hobbs and Shaw. I did not.
Hobbs and Shaw. Okay.
I did not see Hobbs and Shaw.
That was okay.
I'm considering going back to watch some of these. Like I kind of want to see Fast 10 because I'm hearing good things about this one.
It's
again on the scale.
Jason on my scale on my as an action movie, I have to give it a 4 out of 5. Man, all the action scenes, if there were fights, they were all interesting. Like you were involved. Even the plot, the Jason Momoa he stole the show.
That's what everyone says.
Stole the movie. His character, he turned his character practically into Joker-like.
Mm. Wow. Yeah.
So he has a lot of chaotic energy, and he's doing a lot of fun stuff. And if you like that style of antagonist, you're going to like his take, you know? It's not Joker style and not that, you know, he has, you know, makeup.
Yeah, yeah, I know. He's not, yeah. He's got the clown prince of homicide. I get it.
It's a very a chaotic, you know, like, you don't know what's going to be next and a lot of shockers that he brings, you know, to, and without ruining the story of the movie, a lot of cliffhangers and different things and surprise. I got you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't think about this. You know what I mean? Things like that.
Yeah. He always has, seems like he's one step ahead all the time.
Exactly. And I think he's a good antagonist for this world, this crazy world where you can do these logic defying, gravity defying things with cars. You know what I mean?
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's one thing I've been hearing from everybody that Jason Statham is really good at it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Jason Momoa.
Jason Statham, he has a scene, a good cameo scene in there, a long cameo scene, where he has a final confrontation with the person he thought he killed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So it was very interesting. Yeah, that's my take. I'm sure people will give it a lower score. But you know, I really appreciate the action. Like they were like, okay, we're gonna do this. You know what I mean? Like yeah, these two characters are gonna fight right now. Like let's go. You know what I mean?
If you're taking the energy to go see Fast 10, Fast X or whatever, mm-hmm. like you gotta go understand that you're gonna go see Fast X.
Yeah, I mean. You're gonna see what you're gonna see. You know what I mean?
It's like the people who watch Top Gun and be like, "Those aren't realistic roles they're doing." And then shut the fuck up, man.
You know why you're here? They know why you're here. Everyone knows. Okay, all right. Mission Impossible. talk about crazy stunts and action. Does new Mission Impossible? You seen the trailer?
I have not seen the trailer for this.
Oh man, that's some. I don't know how that man still stands. The things that he was doing in that movie, or he's in that just that trailer. Forget the movie. You know what I mean?
Scientology. He's a third level. Yeah. He's the 17th level. Whistleblower. I don't know what they call him.
Hail Xanadu.
Yeah, right.
All right, guys. I think that's it. Unless anything else you want to talk about, Tarek? Anything else you watched, checked out, or anything like that?
I think we got everything. I'm about to watch Legion of Superheroes with Supergirl.
Okay.
It's currently on HBO.
The cartoon.
Right now. The cartoon. So I'll be ready to talk about that whenever we next have a show.
Nice. Okay.
So I know next Monday is Memorial Day, so I'm not sure if we'll be having a show that day or on Tuesday or whatnot.
I think we're gonna let it go.
Yeah.
I think we'll let it. We'll take a break next Monday, and then the following Monday we'll come back. And I think
Joey is seeing The Flash.
He's currently seeing The Flash, and I was kind of hoping to get a text from him. A text for him by now. It's 9:46.
Oh no, that movie probably didn't start till 7:30. So,
well, let's see here. Should I text him? Nah, let's not do that.
Yeah. He's probably under gag order.
Probably. I don't know, because it didn't seem like I saw the same thing. It didn't have no review embargo or anything.
Yeah.
But then he might have had a media invite and then might have had a review embargo in that, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, literally people are going to normal people are going to see the movie. It's an open screen.
Can we not call normal public people, Speedy? Those are listeners we're talking about.
People who are not media people. Normal movie goers.
We're some IP power. Yeah.
So if they're going to just post on their Facebook or Instagram how the movie was, I don't see why they're going to stop media from doing it. So I don't think there is an embargo.
I hope it's good, man. There's still a lot of controversy around Ezra Miller, but despite his actions, I hope the movie is good, because there are other people in the movie that are probably banking on it. You know what
That's
I mean?
Right. That's right.
So hopefully they'll take it, please.
That's right.
Maybe they'll garnish his wages.
Tuesday, which is good. Actually, probably not going to go see it Monday, because Tuesday, me and Joey are going to see Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse screening.
Mm.
Yeah, and there's no review embargo. So as soon as we're out of the movie, we might do a fresh out the theater video. And we might do that.
Yeah, this is taking place tomorrow?
No, next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday, okay.
Yeah, next Tuesday is the screener. And then we might do just an out-of-the-theater review. Yeah. So we'll see. All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us here on the live show, Geek Culture Congress Podcast. If you're watching this on the Speedy's Multiverse YouTube channel, follow the audio version of this podcast. There's a lot of other episodes and interviews and things that I put up there on audio version only. That are exclusive to the podcast. So you want to follow the podcast. I got the QC code up there in the left-hand corner. If that's not good enough, just type in Geek Culture Congress Podcast in your search bar in Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcast, and you should be able to find it just fine there, okay? But if you're joining us on the other channels too, welcome. We try and do this every Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Joey Franchise usually joins us as well, and hopefully in a couple weeks, you'll be able to join us too. Tarek, let everyone know on the audio podcast how they can follow you, sir.
At My Name is Tarek on Instagram and also on the Mighty Mighty YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, me at DJ Speedy JR, all the socials. Thank you so much for joining us here in the live version of the podcast. And we'll see you guys next week with a review of Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Have a good one, everybody. Have a great rest of your evening. And great rest of your week. Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend, okay?
Peace.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.